Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Harm Reduction Workbook for Addiction, Motivational Interviewing Skills to Create a Personalized Recovery Plan and Make Lasting Change, by Kristen L. Dempsey, EDD, LMFT, LPCC. Foreword by D.D. Stout, M.A. Narrated by Candace Joyce. Publisher's note. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Foreword. Books offering these tools of motivational interviewing or harm reduction are typically written for professionals and academics. In this workbook, Dr. Dempsey instead offers a way for anyone to examine their relationship to substances in a personal, intimate, and uniquely individual way within the privacy of their own life. As a longtime practitioner and trainer of motivational interviewing, as well as an expert in harm reduction, I found this workbook exciting, entertaining, and completely accessible for anyone. It doesn't require us to go from chapter 1 to chapter 2 and so on. Rather, listeners can view the topics of each chapter in the table of contents to see what speaks to them and begin there. This workbook is grounded in personal choice, not another resource ready to tell you what you should do or think. I greatly appreciate this perspective, as will many listeners. The idea that we know best what we need to achieve our goals is at the center of this workbook. There are questions encouraging us to think about how we change, what motivates us to change, and when we might be ready to attempt a change. Through stories of others and their journeys of change, which are not provided to increase stigma or shame, or covertly inform us of the right way to make change, we connect to others as a reminder that rarely are we alone in wanting to make a change, especially in our relationship to substances. With worksheets that can be used over and over and freely downloaded, we examine our desires, our strengths, our goals, and more, which helps listeners view our relationship to substances with respect and clarity. Asking the listener to write how we feel or think about substances offers valuable tools in evaluating what we like about substances, as well as how we came to use them and why we might like to stop or cut down. I particularly liked the section on self-compassion. After more than 35 years of working with thousands of patients and clients, I have found that few substance users who feel they are problematically or chaotically using a substance have much compassion for themselves, and certainly not for their use of substances. It is a sad commentary on our American culture that we have managed to stigmatize substances and those that use them at all. It means we begin to loathe ourselves, typically leading to more use of a substance to cope with that shame and guilt, not less. This lack of self-compassion then tends to restrict our ability to dispassionately view our use of substances and the relationship we now have with them. Using an onion as a metaphor, this book asks listeners to consider how we can peel back the layers to understand our substance use. How are we ever to learn from our problematic use of substances or work to improve our relationship to them? Without some self-compassion, why would we even try to change this relationship? By encouraging our exploration of previous successes in other areas of our lives, we can link those successes to the possibility of improving our relationship to substances. This is a marvelous way to help us all see that changing our relationship to substances is possible, regardless of whether that change is moderation, abstinence, sober curious, or something uniquely our own definition. With the acronym CLEAR, we consider Who can collaborate with us? What kind of time limits are reasonable to make this change? Remember why we want to make this change, or the emotional aspect of this change. The appreciable aspects of this change, or small steps, what I call baby steps, we can take, and how we might refine this goal to remain flexible and possible. This reminds me of the greatest lesson the late G. Allen Marlott taught me about change, that we don't budget enough for change. While that is absolutely true, this workbook may just help tip the scale of our budgets over toward change. After listening to this workbook, I feel emboldened, empowered, and energized to tackle any change, and thoroughly believe that you will too. D.D. Stout, M.A., founding member of the Northern California Association of Harm Reduction Therapists and Providers. Introduction. You likely chose this book because you have a relationship to substances, want to learn more about yourself, and are open to asking yourself some questions to see what you learn. Your curiosity is welcome. In these chapters, you will have an opportunity to explore and decide what is most meaningful to you. You are likely an inquisitive and determined person. Perhaps you have had some concerns about your use of substances or another problematic behavioral process, such as gambling. You wonder about your behaviors and are not sure what to make of them, but you want to know more about these substances in your life. You want to make choices, and you want a process that will work quickly and effectively. If you have attended or thought of attending a 12-step meeting, some sort of counseling, or even a treatment program, perhaps for a whole number of reasons, these programs did not fit your needs. Whether you finished a program or not, you want more. You are quite possibly successful in many aspects of your life, and you want to explore your relation to substances, both the good things and the not-so-good things, effectively, confidentially, and quickly. Your seeking has led you here, and the exercises in this book have been designed to understand and maybe change your relationship with substances on your own terms in a way that works for you. This book provides guidance based on some of the best researched methods in substance use recovery. As you explore your relationship with substances, some of the most useful and powerful ideas and tools developed will help you. This conversational workbook includes the philosophy of harm reduction and the practice of motivational interviewing. Both help shape the exercises you are invited to do in each chapter. About this book. Harm reduction is an approach to managing substance use. It includes many ways to reduce, manage, or stop substance use in order to prevent further harm from substance use, while providing people with choice around which steps to take. As the Harm Reduction Therapy Center describes, it is based on the reality that behavior change is usually slow, and a leap from active substance use to complete abstinence is almost always unrealistic and often unnecessary to reduce or eliminate harm. Coercion and punishment are not helpful and, in fact, impede the process of true change. Essentially, any practices that help you cut back on using and that reduce self-harm are beneficial. Substance use itself is not a good or bad situation. There are always aspects of both benefit and harm related to use. True to the spirit of harm reduction, no specific outcome is expected as the result of working through this book. You might listen to this book and choose to move toward actively cutting back or discontinuing your substance use, or you may not. What is important is being open to explore change. As insights arise for you when I ask questions about your experiences, those insights and the responses you record in the writing exercises will be what open you up to change. Motivational interviewing, or MI, is an approach that provides a way to explore your questions and help guide you on a path toward change. MI is generally offered by practitioners to guide health seekers on journeys toward change. It has been tested in over 2,000 controlled trials in various healthcare and social service industries. As an evidence-based process, it helps you start and focus your own exploration around what is and is not important to you, what kind of life you want, and the needs you have that will lead you to your best self. It can lead you to take the first steps in exploring your goals, which are about changing how you relate to and participate in substance use. In this workbook, the MI conversations happen through writing exercises that encourage your reflections. As you learn about different ways of looking at substance use, you will also be invited to try on various lenses that may help you see yourself and your situation more clearly. My questions or prompts and your written responses can therefore be seen as a kind of conversation. These conversations about change happen through the spirit in which they occur and the skills you will explore. This spirit embraces the values and attitudes that will help you engage in conversations about change without judgment and shame and with confidence and support. The skills help promote empathy and compassion toward yourself and your dilemma. Together, the spirit and the skills create a momentum toward change, while not asking or assuming you will change who you are and what you care about in life. Instead, you will engage in conversations about yourself, your dilemmas, and your values from a standpoint of curiosity and exploration. This book will not direct you into a path of action or toward obtaining a specific outcome. Based on who you are and what you want to bring with you on your journey, the skills and spirit of MI can be useful guides to help you move down a potential path of change. In this workbook, you will be on a guided journey, with the structure of MI providing the tools you need to do the work you find meaningful and relevant for yourself. Conversations about change will help you think about and understand what is important to you. This careful thought leads to productive action. Harm reduction provides a point of view that is curious and open to change instead of being a set of strict rules and outcomes that you must follow in order to get the conversation about change right. The potential to have a conversation about change without feeling pressured to come to a specific outcome can make you more likely to start that conversation. Motivational interviewing offers a method for how you can have these conversations about change. These communication skills have been proven for decades to start and extend conversations. Randy's story might give you an opportunity to see how such a conversation about change can happen. Randy's story. Randy is a 32-year-old account executive. Since she was 16 years old, she has been told she needs to clean up her act. She binge drank through high school until she ended up in the emergency room with alcohol poisoning. Her fearful parents didn't know what to do. They reacted by insisting that 16-year-old Randy go to a residential rehabilitation center. The rehab program incorporated a 12-step model with some cognitive behavioral interventions to help Randy manage urges to use. Randy was both angry and scared, and 1,000 miles away from home. She often felt unsafe telling counselors what she really thought about her program and recovery because she did not want to be dropped into a lower phase or leave the program. Not wanting to rock the boat anymore with her parents and feeling terribly homesick, Randy complied with program rules and activities, although she never felt being clean and sober was her choice. Recovery was defined for her, and she had no ability to question the process or explore her own reasons for change. She did, however, spend at least half an hour a day journaling about the negative impact of her use and her character defects that brought her to problematic alcohol use. 16 years later, Randy feels confused and unsure about her relationship to alcohol. After the program, she remained abstinent from alcohol for 16 months, but she started to use alcohol again when she went to college. She was able to avoid binge drinking, but she has been habitually using alcohol. Lately, Randy notices that she is both drinking more alcohol and drinking more frequently throughout the week. She is experiencing more hangovers and is concerned that she feels more agitated when she does not have an opportunity to drink. She wants to change her relationship with alcohol, but she does not necessarily want to quit. Randy knows she does not want to attend group meetings or go through a program. She would like to have an opportunity to explore her drinking habits privately and on her own time. Randy just wants to understand herself better, and she wants a place to start. She is attracted to this workbook as she wants to be able to journal and understand herself without feeling like she has to say certain things in order to be right. She values having a guide that helps her sort out her own feelings and goals and that assists her in creating a clear path to understanding her relationship with alcohol. How to use this workbook. Like Randy, you may want guidance without lecture and an opportunity to explore your own reasons for change in privacy and at your own pace. This book starts with an exploration of the motivational interviewing process. You will learn how to engage in the spirit of MI, using specific interaction techniques on yourself to explore and refine your own change plan, which is made up of your personal steps toward the goals of your choice. You will learn to identify your own change language as it occurs and take steps to build an initial pathway to your desired goal. As you work through the book, you'll have opportunities to reflect and answer questions about yourself and your experiences, and to complete helpful exercises and worksheets. Many of the exercises and worksheets are available for download at the website for this book, newharbinger.com/51901. While it's recommended that you complete the exercises in each chapter sequentially, you can move around the workbook and complete the exercises that are most relevant to you. Not sure where to start? Check out the content of the chapters and begin engaging with the topics that are most meaningful to you. Want to engage in a conversation about change with yourself? Start with Chapter 1. If self-judgment and lack of worth is a particular concern for you, check out Chapter 2. Being able to grow as you change requires openness, willingness to reach out to others for help, and connection to our own self-compassion. If these issues are of particular interest, go to Chapter 3. A crucial part of doing something different with your life is figuring out what is important to you so you have fuel available that promotes change. Chapter 4 discusses discovering personal meaning and ways you can connect with your own personal power to promote change. Ready to listen to your change? Then you might like to start with Chapter 5 on self-reflection. If you notice that you are hard on yourself and cannot identify your strengths and places of potential growth, explore Chapter 6 on affirmation. It takes a village to help change along. Chapter 7 will address how to gather support from others to promote change. Growth is promoted by your ability to ask yourself some challenging questions that can evoke important reasons, needs, and desires to change your current relationship with substances. Ready to start asking yourself these questions? Start with Chapter 8. Get ready, set, and focus on change. Chapter 9 is how you move to focus your efforts and prepare to make the next move toward change. Chapter 10 is your guide to moving from where you are now to your next action step. Your step might be small, or it might be larger, but it will be defined and shaped by your needs, abilities, and resources. Chapter 10 will be most helpful after you complete enough chapters to gain the insight you need to make the first move. Welcome to a conversational journey. This book can lead you to rewarding, exciting, thoughtful growth opportunities. I admire your willingness to take the first steps. Chapter 1. Engage a conversation with yourself. You are now thinking about taking the next step to look at how you are relating to substances. It is helpful to start by asking yourself some questions that will help you gain more self-understanding. In this chapter, you are invited to explore what is important to you, especially what you care about and what you might want to change in your life. Deanne's story offers a place to get started. Her concerns and challenges may help you see how a conversation with yourself can open you up to new ideas and paths toward change. Deanne's story. Deanne started drinking alcohol and occasionally using cannabis in high school. She fondly remembers the parties and concerts where she drank as her favorite times. Deanne is now 28, and she questions where her life is going. She wonders in particular if drinking and cannabis use are helping her or setting her back. She still likes to drink now and again and spend time with friends at clubs. She also notices that she is getting bored and questions if she wants to do other things with her life. She might go to college or maybe pursue a committed relationship and start a family. She is not sure what she wants to do next. What she is sure of is that she is spending more time weekly and sometimes daily drinking or smoking. She wonders if she is holding herself back. The substance use continuum. You may not be quite sure if you have a problem with substances, or whether you are an addict, or a problem user, or drinker. Such terms are loaded and often carry significant judgments. They come with various negative images about what it means to have a problem. A challenge with this thinking is the idea that one either has or does not have a problem. The reality is that we are located along a continuum of substance use and abuse, the nature of which is commonly observed in treatment programs and is currently a target for further study. Here is a sense of the continuum. When we start to use substances, often but not always in adolescence, we might just try out or dabble in alcohol or other drugs. As teens or young adults, we may start to have more regular but non-problematic use, and this type of use is known as social drinking or social using. When we start to drink regularly without consequences, which are unwanted, unhelpful, and unintended results of using substances, we might be engaging in more habitual patterns. Before mental health professionals identify a substance use disorder, they assess our behavior, such as being intoxicated or withdrawing from use of a substance. If our particular combination of behavioral, cognitive, emotional, and even potential physical conditions is significantly impacting our life as the direct result of using the identified substance, we may have a substance use disorder. With these definitions, you might see where you are located on this continuum. As you move farther along the continuum from experimenting to abuse, the substances you use gain increasing control of your life. Take note of where you might be located along the continuum. I am dabbling or experimenting. I'm drinking or using socially. I use as part of a habitual pattern. The effects on my life indicate I might have substance use disorder. The good news is that if you locate yourself on the continuum, you can make choices now that can help you avoid being at the far end of the continuum, at dependence, where you might experience both physical as well as psychological need for a substance. Your obstacles to facing substance use. It is tempting to turn away and keep on using. Here are some reasons you might hide from conversations with yourself or others about substance use. You feel alone. As you question your relationship with substances, you might feel alone, but you are not alone. According to a 2019 national survey, 85.6% of people over the age of 18 indicated they drank at some point in their lives, with almost 55% reporting they drank in the last month. Of those who use alcohol, over 25% stated they participated in binge use of alcohol. Binge use is typically defined as 5 drinks for men and 4 drinks for women on the same occasion. A little over 9% of the U.S. adult population uses any illicit drug, with cannabis still being included in the definition of illicit drug in 2019. Although this may appear to be a small number, it adds up to over 29 million people. You might feel lonely in your relationship with substances, but you are hardly alone. You resist support from others. You might assume that if someone has a problem with substances, they must go to a treatment center, therapist, or 12-step group for treatment or community help. Although such support can be incredibly helpful and is highly recommended, the reality is that only about 10% of people with substance use disorders receive treatment. This reveals a sad reality, that there is a lack of access to treatment programming, which might also be a reason you are listening to this book. Yet, if you are at the dabbling or social levels on the continuum of use, you might very well change your substance use significantly by using the self-exploration resources in this book. If you are in the habitual pattern or substance use disorder levels on the continuum, you might learn more about the substance use, and what you learn can help provide insight into your next steps toward treatment or self-help support. You don't want to be told what to do. It is possible that you are someone who does not want to be told what to do. Maybe a number of people are pestering you about your relationship with the substance, which has made it hard to open up to the possibility of change. Your reaction to being pestered is completely normal. In fact, some evolutionary psychologists think that humans have learned to push back or resist unwanted advice from others to avoid being too submissive in our social groups, which reduces our power in the social hierarchy. Although social dominance might have contributed to human evolutionary success, we tend to want to avoid being told which roles we will take on and who will have authority over us. Even though you are listening to this book in the 21st century, at times your subcortical brain is thinking for you as if it were over 5,000 years ago. So maybe it's not a great idea for anyone to start barking orders about what you should and should not do. Rest assured, this book offers you a way to explore some of your ideas at your own pace and in your own time, so you can come to your own conclusions. Here is how Deanne experienced resistance to facing her substance use. Deanne is aware that she can be hard on herself. She notices thoughts about how she is a loser and that she doesn't deserve to have the things she wants because she has wasted so much time not doing things she cares about, such as traveling with friends and finishing a college program. She also doesn't want to hear others' opinions about her use. In the last couple of years, her mom, sister, and best friend have all made comments about her drinking and cannabis use. At first, she cut back a lot, as she was ashamed that she might be out of control. Cutting back lasted a few months, but Deanne noticed that she started to move back to drinking and using some cannabis on the weekends. Gradually, she started using during the week as well. Write about your resistance to facing substance use. Why might it feel hard to look at this? Overcome the waiting game. As you explore your relationship with substances, you may feel confused and alone. Because of the shame and stigma associated with using substances, you might have waited a long time, sometimes a very long time, to take a step toward change. Waiting is a problem, because the longer you wait, the more likely you will lose things you care about: relationships, money, career, and self-respect. You might feel trapped in an unfair and unavoidable situation. The thinking goes like this: My shame and self-consciousness keep me from asking for help, yet I also have no idea what to do next. As time goes on, my situation with substances or other potentially problematic behavior is not improving. It is completely understandable.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?